As I was preparing this week in our word study on prophecy, I studied way more than probably what I should have in getting things together. I had several things that I chased rabbits on, and I talked with Larry about my lesson and length of my lesson, and he encouraged me to make it short. So I've narrowed it down, and I brought the short version. It's only about 5 pages in length, and we'll get to as much of it as we can, but we're going to move quickly. And so that is to forewarn you. The things that are on the screen are provided so that you can see what I am saying and what I'm going to say, so that you can get a head start on taking your notes, if that indeed be your lot and the thing you want to do. And if you would like a copy of anything that we present, please do let us know. We'll make that available to you in written copy as well, as audio and DVD formats. As Jeff has said in the past concerning these words, I am tremendously blessed by the study that we are a part of this year. And being blessed as it is, I wish I could stand before you tonight and present all of my notes and say, okay, point at something and ask. Ask about it and I'll share it with you. But I hope that what I do plan to present to you this evening will be beneficial to you. Prophets. Prophets were individuals called and empowered by God to declare His will to His people, including the disclosure of His future intentions to save and to judge His people. The term refers particularly to great Old Testament prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, who were raised up to guide the people of God at critical moments in their history, and whose ministries and teaching remain of continuing importance even today as we look back and learn from them. God called individuals like Moses, who was brought up in the Egyptian royal court, Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Samuel, who was a temple servant at Shiloh, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Elisha, who was a farmer, 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 19 through 21. And Ezekiel, who was a priest living in exile in Babylonia, Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. Now these messengers heralded impending judgment. Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 15 through 17, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 8 through 12, all speak of God saying that through His prophets He would deliver judgment. These men also advocated repentance. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 3, and you see other passages there. And conveyed messages from God to the nations. Entire nations received a word. Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 8 through 14, has two examples of God speaking to entire nations by His prophets. The prophets were a part of supernatural activities like the revealing of future events. Ezekiel chapter 17, beginning in verse 16 and going through verse 21, the judgment regarding the unfaithful acts of Zedekiah are prophesied. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 29 through 31, there is the prophecy made of the dividing of the kingdom and it becoming two parts. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, tell of the birth of Emmanuel that was not fulfilled until the New Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse number 15, Herod's slaughter of the infants following the birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem. Prophets also received dreams or visions. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God said that He would deliver to His prophets these dreams or visions. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10 also speaks that God would deliver these to His prophets, and it would be evident to the people that His message was, was from Him. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1, there is that vision that is revealed to us of the four beasts. But the prophets also had a very interesting position as they would work miracles. Not that they themselves did the miracles or performed them, but they were the ones who pronounced things to be done, and when those instructions were fulfilled, God performed the miracle, such as in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3 concerning Naaman and his leprosy. His leprosy was cured when he received word or instruction from a prophet who then he followed. The 2 Kings chapter 6 verses 5 and 6, there was an axe head that was made to float by the instructions of a prophet when he followed out the direction of God. As leaders then in the communities in which they presided, prophets often gave advice. We find this in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6, as well as 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 25. But these prophets not only gave advice, they also gave encouragement. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13 and chapter 2 verse 4 both mention that. But it was not just encouragement in the Old Testament times. Prophets in the New Testament also gave encouragement. Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. These leaders within their community led the people. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. God spoke of His prophets leading the people. These leaders also were given the task of appointing kings and leaders. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1 and 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 34 being two cases of a leader appointing, or a prophet rather, I should say, appointing a leader or a king for the people. Prophets were not just spokesmen for God, as we so often think of them. They were also writers. They wrote things or recorded them as the acts of the kings, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 29. They also recorded words which God spoke to them and told them to write, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 2. They also recorded the very visions which they were given. If they were given a vision without statement, they also recorded that vision, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Proclaim such. But when you look at the word itself, the word for this week, prophecy, it has many different directions that one could take it and study it. In fact, if you look at the word itself, by definition, it's quite easy to explain and quite easy to understand. Prophecy, along with the English cognates, prophet, to prophesy, prophetism and prophetic, are all derived from a group of Greek words, which in the pagan Greek means to speak forth, to proclaim, to announce. But in the biblical Greek, in the biblical sense and use of the word, the term always carries with it the connotation of speaking, proclaiming, or announcing something under the influence of divine inspiration. And so this evening, as we study our word further, we want to note the inspiration of prophecy, the method of prophecy, and the fulfillment of prophecy. Looking first at the inspiration of prophecy, we know quite well that God spoke through His prophets. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 declares, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Nehemiah acknowledged that God admonished Israel by His Spirit through His prophets, yet they would not give ear. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 30. Peter professed that no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. So God is the driving force behind all true prophecy. God is the one who actually spoke these words to them. And that makes God the very source of prophecy. The phrase, "the Lord, the word of the Lord came to," appears almost 100 times in the Old Testament. The first occurrence in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And each and every time that phrase, "the word of the Lord came to," is used, or any similar phrase thereof, It is to emphasize that the prophet was speaking on behalf of God, indicating that the message they proclaimed was not their own, but was directly from God. Prophets were inspired by God to speak the truth. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9, "The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass," in other words, when it comes true, "then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." Moses anticipated the Israelites asking, "How will we know that the word which the Lord has not spoken?" How would we know if one spoke something and that word was not really from God? Moses answered that, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So God's inspired men were inspired to speak the truth. And God inspired these prophets to speak the truth as intermediaries between Himself and the people, and vice versa. An example of each: when God raised up the prophet for the people to listen to, because when they asked in Horeb on the day of the assembly for someone to speak, they said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die." Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. People recognized that God's presence was overwhelming for them to view and to see. And so God gave them, or raised up, prophets for them. But God also made Moses as a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron was made Moses' prophet, Exodus chapter 6, verse 30 through chapter 7 and verse 2. So he recognized that human beings would not always follow after his will and do his will. And so Moses, in grumbling about the position God had called him to, wanted someone who could speak better than he to speak on his behalf. So God gave him Aaron. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, in verse 9, Samuel offered before the people and before God a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then he cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. So Samuel was that intermediary between the people and God. Possibly the greatest role of the prophet, though, is that of being a watchman. In Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, is the shorter version of what's found in Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 7. It aptly shows that this intermediary role was vitally important, not only for the prophet of God, but also for the people who were to receive God's message. Ezekiel wrote there in Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you are warned the righteous man, and the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself." The prophet had a tremendous responsibility placed upon him in presenting the message from God to his people. he not only could save himself, but save those to whom the message of God was sent. Or he could be held accountable for himself and for the sins of the people. That leads us then to the method of prophecy. Because these messages that came from God were delivered to God's people in a variety of ways, all of which made the meaning clear, attracted attention, and convinced the people of the truth of God's words. Some of those messages were directly proclaimed. In other words, they were simply stated. Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We read the words written there. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, to the great city, and proclaim the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, and about 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned." Here's an example of God giving Jonah a message, and Jonah immediately and directly delivering that message to God's people. Another occasion of this is found in the New Testament, Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 27. "Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate that in the spirit that there would certainly be a great famine over all the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius." So Luke reveals to us that a prophecy was made by Agabus about a famine that would be all over the world. And then he tells us that it was fulfilled in the days of Claudius. That revelation given to Agabus was directly given to the people. Other prophecies, however, were not so direct in statement. Rather, they were enacted. Ahijah tore the new cloak which was upon him into 12 pieces, instructing Jeroboam then to take 10 pieces of that garment, which illustrated that the Lord would make Jeroboam ruler over 10 of Israel's tribes. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 29 to 39. That prophecy and that instruction would show that Jeroboam would become king, and the kingdom would actually be divided at that point. Upon Jeremiah's second visit to the potter's house, he was instructed to buy clay jar and to break it in the sight of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests as well. This was to demonstrate to God's people that God would do just the same to Judah. They had sinned against him, would not return to him, and therefore he was going to break them into pieces. Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 1 through 13. In Ezekiel chapters 4 through 6, though, there's several of these enactments of God's prophecies to His people. The surrounding of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army was illustrated, as well as the years of punishment for Israel and Judah. There was an illustration that showed the people their hopelessness and helplessness against the Babylonian attack. There was the warning of God's people that they would be forced to eat defiled food among the nations that God would turn them over to. How a third of Jerusalem's people would die by fire, another third would die by the sword, and a final third would go into captivity was illustrated in chapter 6 or chapter 5. Those living in the valley would be destroyed by their enemies. And finally, the disease and the death that awaited Israel was also enacted by a prophecy of God's prophet Ezekiel before the people. These are prophecies that were enacted, while other prophecies were expressed as an allegory or a parable, a story, if you will. You remember quite well that the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to confront David regarding his sin with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. And God instructed the prophet Ezekiel to speak a parable to the rebellious house, that being the house of Israel, according to Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 5. In the New Testament, we also have parables, which are also prophecies. Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 35, and the parallels that are found in Mark and Luke point to the nearness of Christ's return and what will take place at His return. So we have all of these various methods that have been mentioned of ways in which prophecies were delivered. We stated in our introduction that prophets did receive visions or dreams from God, and they recorded them in writing. But interestingly, there are those prophecies who were associated with music. Although the nature of these prophecies are not made known, it is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Verses 1 through 3, that David assigned musicians in his preparation for the temple being built. And of them, he said, who were to prophesy accompanied with lyres, harps, and cymbals. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 5 is a passage that's found within several signs that were intended to give Saul proof that he had indeed been chosen as Israel's king. One of the signs that he was told would be proof was when he went on his way and met some musicians that were prophets. So an interesting stray from the usual concerning prophecies are those ones that were accompanied by the playing of music. But as remarkable as the various methods of delivering prophecy are, the fulfillment of prophecy is even more impressive. There's a principle about all prophecy that's given by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, the furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God said that of His messages presented by His own mouth, delivered through His prophets, they were guaranteed to accomplish the very thing they were sent to accomplish. Many times the prophets did not understand or recognize the full extent of what they were saying, what they were delivering to God's people. But nevertheless, they knew and understood that God's word was true. His message was for His people, and it was their responsibility to be truthful with the message and truthful in confronting God's people. There were some odd prophecies, though. Very odd prophecies, in fact. Ahijah told Jeroboam's wife that Jeroboam's son, Abijah, would die when she returned home. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 12 through 13. And when she returned to the city, as she was crossing the threshold into the house, the son died. The fulfillment of this prophecy, though, was to prove the prophecies of Ahijah that those prophecies which he had made would come to pass. If this one did, others would as well. So it served as proof to Jeroboam and to Jeroboam's wife as well. Another example of an odd situation concerning a prophecy given and its fulfillment is that of a prophet that spoke with another prophet in 1 Kings chapter 20. Beginning in verse 35, the Bible says that by word of the Lord, The prophet spoke with another prophet, saying, "Please strike me." But the man refused to strike the prophet. Then the prophet, the first prophet that is, said to him, "Because you have not listened to the voice of the Lord, behold, as you have departed from me, a lion will kill you." And as soon as the man departed from him, verse 36 accounts, the lion found him and killed him. It was to show that the word of the prophet was true. The word of the prophet was true, and it was a word from God. It would seem to be the case that a prophet of God would recognize that already and abide by it. But for a prophet to speak to another prophet and give him such an instruction, it must have been odd. It must have been strange. Therefore, he did not obey, and it cost him his life. Ahijah also prophesied against Israel, as the United Kingdom. He said the kingdom would be taken from Solomon and Jeroboam would receive 10 of the 12 tribes to rule over. 1 Kings chapter 11. In the next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam acted foolishly by disregarding the people's request for him to lighten the yoke that was placed upon them by his father Solomon. Because he disregarded them and acted foolishly concerning it, the very prophecy of chapter 11 came true. Jeroboam became king. The people sided with him and went against that of Rehoboam, creating two parts of the same kingdom. Several prophecies, therefore, spoke judgment. They spoke judgment on the royal house of God. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, calamity on the house of Jeroboam will be brought forth. Judgment was rendered against Jezebel because of the king and Jezebel as well. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 20 through 29. And then Ahab and his house was spoken of and spoken against by Jehu the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 9. Beginning in verse 30 and going on into chapter 10. But then there are those prophecies that tell us all about the exile of those who would go away into Babylonian captivity. And time does not allow us to discuss in detail these things, but there was the prophecy of the rise of the Babylonians, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. The very fall of Jerusalem and the exile that would take place, 2 Kings 20, the fate of King Zedekiah, Jeremiah chapter 21, and even the length of the captivity of God's people, Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. These prophecies were announced and fulfilled even concerning battles. Ahab's battle with the Arameans as they would go to war against one another, and Ahab would die in battle being struck by a random arrow shot. 1 Kings 22, verses 3 through 5. Hezekiah, who pleaded with the Lord to save Jerusalem from Sennacherib. So Isaiah the prophet revealed the Lord's promises to Hezekiah about the battle and what would take place. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 20 through 37. Some prophecies, though, were changed before their fulfillment. Most all prophecies were given by God to prove His truth and His accuracy and what He wanted to do concerning His people. These that were changed were not changed because of an error in giving them, but rather because of the change that took place within the person to whom the prophecy was given. You remember Hezekiah, his life was extended some 15 years after the telling of his coming death, Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 5. Ahab humbled himself after a prophecy was given that every male within his family would be cut off. Thus, the evil that God had planned to bring on Ahab and his family, He delayed until the days of Ahab's sons. 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 20 through 29. Many Old Testament prophets and prophecies were given as messianic prophecies, messianic in nature, meaning that they give information of specific details about the coming Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 44, Jesus said, "And all things which are written about me in the law and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Before his death, Christ told the 12, "All things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished." Luke chapter 18, verse 31. After his death, Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 18 that the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that His Christ would suffer, He has fulfilled. And so time and again, the messianic prophecies pointed to the coming of Christ, pointed to things concerning His life and livelihood, pointed to His death, even His resurrection, His life in heaven with God after His ascension. But Jesus was also recognized as a prophet. He was recognized as a prophet by all four gospel writers. Matthew mentions it in chapter 21 and verse 11. But it is also the case that God and Christ gave prophecy as one of the spiritual gifts to the early church. Though not all were called to be prophets, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 29, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, these prophecies were important. These prophecies were given to encourage and to help the early church. But it was always to build up the body, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3 through 5. Paul made an interesting statement about those who were prophets and those who would render prophecies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 2, that there is a loss of value in prophecy if it's not given with love. So there are many things to be learned about the fulfillment of prophecy. Applying all of these things then, there's a few lessons we need to learn for sure from the Scripture's use of that term, prophecy. One is that God has a message for all mankind. When God delivered the message through His prophets, it was because God had something important for His people to know. Something important for them not only to know, but to abide by. God has delivered His message to man. He's delivered it through His Holy Spirit, through His Son, and through His faithful people. Because of such, that message is to be heard. That message is to be believed, and that message is further to be acted upon in obedience. As a response to obedience that is expected, because God is faithful in keeping all that He says, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. So if God is faithful in all that He says, and He has delivered a message to us, it's important for us to hear, believe, and act upon it. Therefore, God expects there to be a response to His message. There are some prophecies that are given in Scripture that have not been fulfilled as yet. The second coming of Christ is foretold when He Himself spoke to Caiaphas. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man coming, or Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." The Hebrew writer penned these words, "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await Him." Hebrews 9 and verse 28. The timing of that second coming, though, is revealed or known, rather, only by the Father. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Therefore, it's very important that we as human beings prepare for that second coming. For it is in its purpose that God gather His people together to reward the faithful and to judge the wicked. Each one will be repaid according to his deeds, Matthew 16, verse 27, as a separating will take place as like that of sheep from the goats by the shepherd, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 32. The faithful will be with Christ, John chapter 14 and verse 3. So John encouraged Christians who had been Christians for a while, abide in Christ so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. So the question we ask you this evening is, have you made those preparations? Have you made preparations for the second coming, the judgment that is to follow, and the reward of eternal life? God has delivered that message, the message of salvation. He and His message intend and elicit a response, a very specific response, in fact. And if we're ready to repent of sins, Acts 3, verse 19, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32, and be baptized, Mark 16, we can be saved, Mark 16. Furthermore, if we will do these things in obedience to God's will, He has promised that we will be added by the Lord to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, and have the hope, confident expectation of many promises of blessings in this life and in everlasting life as well. Indeed, it is true. God has spoken and He has proven to be faithful time and time again concerning those prophecies. The prophecies of the second coming have been given, and God will hold true to them just as He has to every prophecy that has been made and already fulfilled. Instruction has been given for you and I to be obedient. To be obedient to His will so that we can have our sins forgiven and have the hope of eternal life with Him. And just as all of God's messages elicited a response, He now waits for your response. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 we close with, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance." Have you made the preparation? Preparation for the second coming. Preparation for where you want to spend eternal life. If not, we will encourage you and assist you as together we stand and sing.